Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
We also explain words and language rules, all while bringing you stories and information from around the world. Today on the program, you will hear stories from Brian Lynn, Bruce Alpert, and Dorothy Gundy. Dan Friedel will tell us what's trending today, and Anna Mateo will have this week's health report. But first, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, and several Arab nations have ended diplomatic relations with their Gulf neighbor, Qatar. The move follows criticism over Qatar's support of what many Arab nations consider terrorist organizations. Adding to the conflict is Qatar's close ties to Iran, Saudi Arabia's rival. Bahrain, the United Arab Emirates, Yemen, the Maldives, and a government group in Libya also ended diplomatic relations with Qatar on Monday. The state-owned Saudi press agency said Qatar supports terrorist and sectarian groups aimed at disturbing stability in the region, including the Muslim Brotherhood, Islamic State, and Al-Qaeda. Qatar's foreign ministry said the kingdom is facing a campaign based on fabrications or false stories. The goal, the ministry said, is to cause damage to Qatar. The conflict between Qatar and other Arab nations grew in recent weeks when Qatar officials said its state-run news agency and Twitter account had been hacked. Officials said the result was the publishing of a fake or untrue news story. The story said Qatar's emir, Sheikh Tamim bin Hamad Al Thani, had called Iran a regional and Islamic power that cannot be ignored. State-supported media in Saudi Arabia and other Gulf countries continued to report the story despite protests from Qatar that it was false. Qatar has only about 2.3 million people, but is the world's largest producer of liquefied natural gas. It shares a big underwater field with Iran. Qatar is home to the Al Jazeera International News Network. Its reporting of protests in Cairo was credited with helping the Muslim Brotherhood win power in Egypt. The Muslim Brotherhood government was then removed by Egyptian military. Like other Gulf nations, Qatar is an American ally. The United States has an airbase in Qatar used for air attacks against Islamic State militants. The pulling of diplomatic relations follows a visit to Saudi Arabia last month by American President Donald Trump. Trump told Gulf leaders that he strongly supports Saudi Arabia's efforts against both Iran and against Islamic militant groups. On Monday, U.S. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson called on Qatar and the other Gulf states to end the dispute. He made the comments in Australia, where he is attending an international meeting. He offered U.S. help in finding a solution. Also on Monday, Turkish officials said President Recep Tayyip Erdogan is working to end the diplomatic crisis. The Associated Press reported that the Turkish president had spoken by telephone with Gulf leaders. Two other Gulf nations, Kuwait and Oman, still have diplomatic relations with Qatar. Officials from the two countries are meeting separately with officials of Saudi Arabia and Qatar late on Monday. The effect of the break in diplomatic relations was felt almost immediately in Qatar. Qatar Airways was banned from Saudi airspace, and the United Arab Emirates stopped air service to Qatar by its three airline carriers. Qatar imports almost all of its food. 40% of the food comes from Saudi Arabia. There were long lines to buy food at markets in Qatar on Monday, the Associated Press reported.
British police continue to investigate a deadly attack last Saturday in London. 7 people were killed and more than 50 others injured on or near the world-famous London Bridge. It started when 3 men drove a van into people walking on the bridge. The men then got out of the vehicle and ran to a nearby market and began stabbing people. The victims reportedly included British nationals and foreigners. London police killed 3 attackers. At least 10 people have been detained as part of the investigation. The Islamic State group claims responsibility for the attack. The violence came less than a week before Britain's parliamentary elections. Political campaigning restarted on Monday after a one-day suspension after the attack. It was Britain's 3rd terrorist attack in less than 3 months. On May 22nd, a suicide bomber killed 22 people at a concert in the city of Manchester. In March, 5 people died in an attack on London's Westminster Bridge. The attacks turned much attention in the election campaign to national security issues. British Prime Minister Theresa May condemned the latest violence. She said that in addition to being an attack on London and the United Kingdom, it was also one on the free world. May said there was no clear evidence that the 3 attacks were operationally connected. But she said they were bound together by the evil ideology of Islamist extremism. She said she believed there is far too much tolerance for extremism in Britain. We need to be more robust in identifying and stamping out extremism in public service and across society. It's time to say enough is enough. May hopes to use the elections this Thursday to continue serving as Prime Minister and leader of the ruling Conservative Party. At the time she called for the vote last April, she was considered the favorite against Labour Party leader Jeremy Corbyn. But the race has grown much closer in recent weeks. Public opinion surveys show May's Conservatives are leading Labour by between 1 and 12 points. Earlier surveys did not correctly predict the result of Britain's vote to leave the European Union, or EU, a year ago. May's government has been working with police on security measures to make the voting safe. She stated that violence can never be allowed to disrupt the democratic process. Corbyn has criticized May's record on security issues. He said he supported calls for her resignation for ordering cuts in police forces while she served as Britain's Home Secretary. However, Corbyn said the best way to get May out is for people to go out and vote. There's an election on Thursday. That's the chance, he said. The Labour Party has promised to increase the number of police officers and to strengthen neighborhood security programs to fight terror. May said Corbyn is unable to guarantee Britain's security at a time of such increased threats. We have given increased powers to the police to be able to deal with terrorists, powers which Jeremy Corbyn has boasted he has always opposed, she said. May said Monday that Britain's anti-terrorism operations were fully financed. But London Mayor Sadiq Khan, a Labour member, said his city had been forced to cut about $775 million for police from its budget. We have had to close police stations, sell police buildings, and we've lost thousands of police staff. In addition to setting anti-terror policies, the election winner will be responsible for negotiating Britain's withdrawal from the EU. Other major issues during the campaign have been the state-run National Health Service, immigration, and the economy. I'm Brian Lynn.
Ten Americans recently received two college degrees, one from a university in New York and the other from a Chinese university. The dual degree program is a project of Hofstra University on Long Island and China's Dongbei University of Finance and Economics. Herman Berliner is the head of Hofstra's business school. He believes it is the first time American undergraduate students receive degrees from an American and Chinese university at the same time. Under the program, visiting Dongbei professors teach some of the business and finance classes at Hofstra. Students also take part in a 6-week summer internship with an international company in China and attend education programs organized by Deng Bei.
Nowadays, a good business education should be global because it is a global economy, Berliner said. And it should be hands-on because hands-on gives our students more exposure to the reality they will find in the business world. Berliner said he expects to welcome Chinese students to Hofstra to continue their education and take internships at American companies. Tori Ray Matizoff of Monroe, New Jersey, is one of the 10 students to graduate with 2 degrees in business, one from Hofstra and the other from Dongbei. Last summer, she worked for the Human Resources Office of Pfizer Incorporated in China. Pfizer is one of the world's largest producers of medicine. This kind of experience really opens up your mind, the New Jersey woman said. Matizoff, who knows Mandarin, said she met in China with Pfizer workers who wanted to improve their English skills so they would have bilingual discussions.
The Chinese workers asked her a lot of questions, like what kind of president Donald Trump will be. They also wanted to know whether she and her family had guns, because, as she put it, no one carries guns in China. The workers also asked about how she signed on to Facebook. In China, the government blocks Facebook's website. The site is easily accessed in the United States. Matizoff also helped a human resources director at Pfizer's China office better understand reports from company officials in other countries. She spoke English very well, but sometimes you need a little context, Matizoff said. She is continuing her business studies at Hofstra. She hopes to complete a master's degree program.
Stuart Rabinowitz is Hofstra's president. He told the students that learning about another culture and how to communicate when you don't speak the language well will help them as they leave Hofstra for jobs or graduate school. These are experiences and skills that will set you apart, he said. While Hofstra appears to be the first undergraduate program to offer dual degrees with a Chinese university, many American colleges offer students a chance to study overseas for part of a school year. And some colleges offer dual graduate school degrees with colleges outside the United States. Northwestern University in Illinois, for example, offers a Master's of Science degree in engineering with Shanghai Jiao Tong University in China. Johns Hopkins University's School of Advanced International Studies offers a dual master's program in global politics and economics with Tsinghua University in China. At Hofstra's graduation ceremonies, the 10 dual degree recipients were given a red stole from Dongbei University as well as their Hofstra diploma. Dongbei University is in the northeastern Chinese city of Dalian. About 20,000 students are taking classes there. Hofstra has over 11,000 students.
Hofstra students in the dual degree program take all their courses in English. Knowledge of Chinese is not required. Still, Berliner wishes more American students would develop better foreign language skills. Most Chinese students learn English, he said, while a small percentage of Americans can speak and read Chinese. That's a disadvantage, Berliner said.
2 years ago, the Modern Language Association reported a drop in the percentage of students taking foreign language classes at American colleges and universities. The association said that 9 out of every 100 students took such a class in 2009. But in 2013, the rate was 8 per every 100 students.
While the number of people studying Spanish and French was down, there were increases in Chinese, Korean, Portuguese, and American Sign Language, the group noted. Recently, some Princeton University educators proposed that all students be required to take a foreign language class, even if they already speak a second language. It would help them better understand the world, the educators said. I'm Bruce Alpert.
And I'm Dorothy Gundy.
This is what's trending today. Many of the top videos on YouTube Monday came from Ariana Grande's One Love Manchester concert. Grande had just finished performing at the Manchester Arena on May 22nd when a bomber caused an explosion. The attack killed at least 22 people and injured over 100 others. British officials identified the attacker as Salman Abedi, a 22-year-old British national. Grande returned to Manchester on Sunday for a benefit concert at the Old Trafford Cricket Ground. She and many other singers performed at the show to raise money for victims of the attack. The performers included Katy Perry, Justin Bieber, The Black Eyed Peas, Robbie Williams, Take That, Liam Gallagher from Oasis, Pharrell Williams, and Coldplay. Grande was the host of the show and joined in on songs with other artists, such as Miley Cyrus and The Black Eyed Peas. She and the Black Eyed Peas performed the group's hit song, Where Is the Love? Grande sang the parts normally sung by Fergie, who did not perform Sunday night. Grande and Cyrus performed Don't Dream It's Over, a song by Australian band Crowded House that became popular almost 30 years ago. About 60,000 people attended the benefit concert, including many who saw Grande's show at the Manchester Arena in May. The event raised almost $3 million for the City of Manchester and the British Red Cross. It was broadcast nationwide in Britain and streamed live on YouTube. Many people said they liked the show. One critic from The Telegraph newspaper complimented Grande's performance. Neil McCormick said she has the ability to give up the fancy costumes and cat ears she is known for and let her voice speak for itself. But perhaps the image that got the most attention on social media was that of a police officer dancing in a circle with some young concert attendees. And that's what's trending today. I'm Dan Friedel.
From VOA Learning English, this is the Health and Lifestyle Report. A new study provides more evidence that there is a deep connection between our gut and our brains. The findings suggest that probiotics, so-called good bacteria that aid in digestion, may also help to lessen symptoms of depression. There are about 300 to 500 bacterial species that live in the human gut. Many help with digestion and keep the gastrointestinal system working right. Scientists say these probiotics play a part in neural activity that controls digestion. In addition, there is also new evidence that shows probiotics can also affect a person's mental state or mood. Primacil Birchick is a researcher at Ontario, Canada's McMaster University. Birchick is interested in the connection between the gut and the brain through the millions of bacteria that live in the gastrointestinal tract. Birchick notes that between 40 and 90% of people with irritable bowel syndrome, or IBS, also suffer from symptoms of anxiety and depression. Doctors do not yet know what causes IBS. It causes stomach pains and can interfere with the body's waste removal process. The difficulty and discomfort of the condition alone might cause depression. However, research led by Birchick suggests that the presence or lack of gut bacteria may affect a person's mood.
What we found was that the patients who were treated with this probiotic bacterium improved their gut symptoms, but also surprisingly decreased the depression scores. That means their mood improved. And this was associated also with changes in the brain imaging.
What Birchick describes is a small early study of 44 IBS patients who also had anxiety or depression. Half of the patients received a daily probiotic. The other half received an inactive substance called a placebo. The patients were then followed for 10 weeks. At the start of the study, the researchers scored the levels of depression and anxiety in the patients. Then the patients looked at a mix of happy and sad images. At the same time, imaging devices recorded the brain reactions to those images. It showed the researchers what parts of the brain were active in connection with the images. At 6 weeks, 64% of patients taking the probiotic had a decrease in their depression scores. The depression scores also dropped in 32% of the patients taking placebos. A second imaging study showed changes in multiple brain areas involved in mood control in the patients who felt better. Barrick says larger studies are needed to confirm the findings.
However, I think it shows a great promise. I mean, if new treatments, not only for patients with functional bowel disorders like irritable bowel syndrome, but may offer some new treatments for patients with primary psychiatric disorders like major depression or anxiety.
The researchers published their findings in the journal Gastroenterology. And that's the Health and Lifestyle Report. I'm Anna Mateo.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.